Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is my friend first.
Co-host second.
Something third. I don't know. Welly Deli.
WSM leader third.
Favorite WSM leader third, Jane Fawcett.
Hello.
And Sarah Wells. I'm just kidding.
I FaceTimed with Sarah Wells last night.
How's she doing?
She's doing really well. She's sick currently.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But she's doing really well.
My friend who works at Cal Baptist said he's heard nothing but great things about how Sarah's doing. And he even said, I love working at Cal Baptist. It's a great place to work. So yeah, I imagine Sarah has the same feeling. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a good show for you guys today.
We do. We have a great guest.
He's been on the show many times before. He's one of our campus pastors. His name is?
Jared Rumley.
Jared Rumley.
Also the assistant soccer coach at Buchanan High School.
That's right. We'll talk to him a little bit about Clovis campus, celebrating a birthday coming up.
Sure.
As well as some of his Buchanan coaching aspirations for the year.
Yes.
And we are looking forward to that. And Jane chatted with Jared earlier about his favorite music right now. So what was that?
Yeah. So he's played one of these songs for us at residency on Tuesday mornings. Music this morning is by Jimmy. Oh, not this morning. Music today on today's show is by Jimmy Needham. It is one of his hymns albums.
Okay.
So
not hymns like H-I-M-S.
H-Y-M-N-S.
That's right. Jane, how's residency? I want Spoutcast listeners are dying to know how residency
is. Are they?
Yes.
Residency is blowing my brain. It's amazing. It makes for a sleepy Jane in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been awesome. Totally worth it. If you say you're not a morning person and you can't go to residency, let me tell you, I am not a morning person and I'm doing it and I will never regret this decision.
Good. I'm glad you feel that way. And Layla is also doing residency. So
yes.
How's she doing waking up that early?
Great. She's never been late.
Have you been late?
No, neither of us have.
I have a leader in WSM for junior high. Her name's Melissa and she goes to residency as well.
Yeah, Mo. She goes by Mo.
Oh, Mo. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And she was like, I will never be late because of how embarrassing it would
be. It's like a humiliation.
Yeah. So that's a great motivation, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I was kind of dying to know, and, you know, as were our listeners. So yeah. This is a great venue to do that.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Well, speaking of the Bible and learning about it, we've been going through our generation series. We're going to touch on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Brad taught all day yesterday, and Brad actually taught to our high school students last night, which is the sermon that Jane and I heard. I think we heard both of his sermons, but it was pretty much the same sermon. And so we'll touch on that a little bit. We'll interview Jared, and then we'll close out the show. Enjoy some Jimmy Needham.
Yep.
I dated a girl named Amelia Needham. I wonder if they're related.
Maybe it's her dad.
No. I mean, is he an old guy?
No.
Okay. Well, I never met her dad.
Maybe it's her brother.
It could be her brother. I don't know. Well, enjoy some potentially my ex-girlfriend's brother, father, hymns album.
Great is thy faith. Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been now forever with me. Springtime and harvest.
If you summarize them all together, he's writing to a people who he loves in a city that he knows what's going on there. He's going, friends, your world is a mess. You live on the strip in Vegas. I get it. Here's how you live morally in an all moral world. And the issues that they were having wasn't that they were influencing the culture. The issues they were having is that the culture was influencing them. And the issue of Corinth is eerie Because as I read about the issues in Corinth, as I study the issues of Corinth, I feel like I'm studying Fresno. Because what they struggled with was acceptance, tolerance, grace. You go, well, that sounds good. No, not good. What they struggled with was that there was no moral boundaries, no moral parameters, no right and no wrong.
That was a clip from Brad's sermon this past Sunday on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And if you were at all campuses except for North, you would have heard that message, kind of the midweek message. He changed it a little bit at North. And when he spoke live and I talked to him, he just said he kind of adjusted a couple things after teaching it a few times. But he really, for the most part, went about chapter by chapter through 1 Corinthians, kind of a recap of what we went through this last year, and really just in a quick overview of 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And kind of as you heard in the clip, I think the best way to describe it is moral discernment, just looking at your life and being morally discerning.
Yeah, and how to do that in a world that isn't living morally.
Yeah, and I think that with the Generation series, it's not necessarily a bunch of practical, here's what you need to do, but I think that it's kind of lifting people up and saying, like, how, like, are you even thinking about living mm-hmm. for Christ in a non-Christian universe, you know? Mm-hmm. And he talked about it in a sermon and just a little bit about how the way that culture is going, and you can kind of see how Christianity has gone. It's kind of going in the same culture a little bit, and how we're just allowing these people, which is great. We want to show grace to people in church, but we're never calling those people out mm-hmm. that are living lives that aren't for Christ. So they're saying, like, I love Jesus, and I'm so passionate about Jesus. I love church. I come to church on Sunday, but my life throughout the week looks very differently.
Right.
So I don't know if there's any more to the summary of it. Anything you wanted to add to that? Or
no, I think that is right on. I think he talked a lot about condoning and just making poor decisions and thinking that, oh, we're covered in grace, so it's okay. And then he even, I don't remember which part in Corinthians it is, but where Paul, talks about his life and how he's been, do you know what I'm talking about?
I think that's when he was going through the book of Acts, like, because he was going alongside Acts with Corinth.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Paul was talking about his life. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, how he's, like, faced a lot of opposition and whatnot, and, like, pointing out, like, is that your life? Because our life as Christians isn't called to be easy peasy. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to live differently. And
one of the things Brad tossed out was this concept of, if you're a married person, a great way to
show that you're a Christian.
Show that you're a Christian and show that you are a follower of Christ, that you know the gospel, is by the way you treat your spouse.
Yeah.
And then I think along the lines of, like, if you're a single, I think it's how do you live your life for Christ on a day-to-day basis? And I just think it's one of those things where we don't wake up in the morning thinking, how am I going to live for Christ today? We wake up in the morning thinking, what am I going to wear today? Mm-hmm. What time do I need to leave for work? What, like, I need to get in the shower. What am I going to have for breakfast? Mm-hmm. What am I going to put in my coffee this morning? And so we just don't think through that way of living. We don't think through, how am I going to live for Christ today? How am I going to live out the gospel in my own life today?
Yeah. And even, like, it was challenging to me, that part in Acts where Paul wants to go in the middle of them chanting, like, shoot, what were they saying? I don't remember some name they were chanting. I can't remember.
Okay.
But when the other disciples are like, no, you can't go in there. You're going to get ripped apart, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think they were chanting about Artemis.
Weren't they chanting for the idol? Yeah.
Artemis. So,
Brad uses example of, he had a Chewbacca, a Han Solo.
Yeah. And just like, just from residency, like, seeing how passionate Paul is for the gospel and, like, how bold, and just going along, like, how we wake up in the morning deciding, like, how's my day going to go? What am I going to wear? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, to live every situation in a way of how can I show or live out or speak the gospel boldly in any situation. And you see Paul's example being so bluntly that that's what he's going to do, that he goes places specifically because there's a lot of people or whatever, like his life is for the gospel. Mm-hmm. And just a good challenge of like, what are we living for? Are we living for ourselves? Are we living for our rights, our freedoms, or...
We'll even talk about freedoms, and it's like Paul in 1 Corinthians, kind of going back to the concept of moral discernment, he tells his readers, he tells this church of Corinth, like, look, you have the freedom in Christ to do whatever you want to do. And mm-hmm. people are walking around in the church going, hey man, don't judge me, brother. Like, I've got freedom in Christ. Like, mm-hmm. you got to love me. You got to give me grace. And so Brad's mentioning they're sleeping with their stepmoms. They're mm-hmm. worshiping other idols. They're drinking, getting drunk off communion wine. Mm-hmm. And but they're like, dude, I got freedom in Christ. Like, yeah. so it's all good. Mm-hmm. And I think the concept is that, yeah, like you are free in Christ and everything you can do, but is it beneficial for you to do?
Or is it beneficial for your weaker brother?
Yeah, and that's kind of the second part is that what Brad used the analogy. He didn't use it in his sermon on kind of the one that most people saw, but he used it in high school group last night. Just this concept of Brad as a pastor of a church.
Yeah.
And if he were to go and have a beer at Brad always likes to use Yard House.
Yeah. He even though mentioned... In his own home.
In his own home. Yeah, yeah. And somebody saw him do that.
Yeah.
Everything that Brad has worked towards, whether they... Now, there's probably somebody, some normal person that doesn't care.
Yeah.
They're like, he's just Brad drinking. Like,
yeah.
A glass of wine or a beer. But there are people that are going to look at Brad that if he were to drink publicly mm-hmm. and they would go, everything you've ever taught me, everything I've ever learned, everything I've ever known from you is now... gone. Like, yeah. I don't believe it anymore. And there are people like that. Mm-hmm. So Brad, and not only Brad, but members of the well need to be aware of what we're doing and how we live our lives. Is mm-hmm. drinking bad? No. You know, but I think it's the context of what you're doing and who you're doing it around.
Yeah.
That's key. And it's for the weaker brother. We mm-hmm. must give up our own rights, our own freedoms for the sake of the weaker brother.
Right.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, because something that we are doing that is totally okay for us could discolor the gospel for someone else.
Yes,
and
I agree.
For us to make a choice selfishly instead of thinking about what our life is looking like to somebody else, we're just called to live outwardly and consider other people in the process.
And as Christians, I think we're also supposed to, and Brad's mentioned this at LeadCon, and he also mentioned it in his sermon, just this concept of calling each other out. And not in a mean way, not in a I'm a better than you way, but out of love and out of grace and just going like, look, I want to show you grace. I love you and for who you are, but there's mm-hmm. some areas of your life that I think need to change.
Yeah.
And the response in Corinth was, well, don't, you know, I got freedom. But I think that what Paul's trying to do in his letter is call people out mm-hmm. and say, look, I get it. Like, I get that there's freedom. I get that there's grace. But at the end of the day, you need to knock that off. You need to understand the gospel. You need to understand that the gospel needs to transform and change your life from the inside out. And if that's not happening, then are you really living for the gospel?
Yeah.
And I think that Paul is just looking at this church that, yes, believes in Jesus. Yes, is attending church. Yes, is in a community, but the gospel hasn't sunk completely into their lives. And so what's happening is that they're diving into their own freedoms. They're mm-hmm. diving into their own pleasures and their own desires because they're looking at just a man named Jesus and a building and a church and not the gospel like transforming their hearts. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add.
I think too, in that process of calling people out, I think a lot of people are hesitant to call someone out because they're worried that they're going to get caught in the same thing that somebody's going to flip it on them and be like, yeah, but you do such and such or whatever. So I think there's definitely a way to call someone out that isn't prideful and is for someone's own good. Yeah, it's just kind of, it's a tough thing, but at the same time, like sometimes you need to hear the truth from somebody that you trust, so that, because you can't see it on your own, and to receive that in a way that you know that they're helping you, and to even offer in a way of like, hey, like, I struggle with the same thing and I just see this humbly in your life. Totally. Yeah. So
yeah, calling somebody out is, I think, it doesn't always go well, but it's also not something you want to just not do.
Yeah.
I think that's a tough thing in Christianity as a whole. We talk about it at the Well, this concept of the last 10%. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Jane and I in our own lives, I don't think we've ever called each other out or anything, but we have had those last 10% conversations, and it's made our relationship healthier. And I think the same goes for believers in the church. Mm-hmm. I would say, don't just call somebody out randomly, like develop a relationship with those people.
Totally.
And Paul, you have to understand, he's calling these people out, but he spent a good chunk of time. Yep. I think he spent like 18 months with this group of people. Yeah. And so he knows these people. He knows them by name. He knows their family members. He knows their dog's names. He knows where they live. He has spent a large chunk of time and is now writing a letter calling them out. Mm-hmm. Two letters, actually, saying, look, you're still not getting it.
Yeah.
You guys need to understand, like, it is about the gospel. Mm-hmm. And Brad mentioned this concept of like, back in Acts, there was these people that were kind of delivering miracles, and mm-hmm. you knew that they were an authenticator of the gospel because of the fact that they could actually perform these miracles and who they were. Mm-hmm. And or basically that they were disciples of Christ. Is that
right? Yeah.
Okay. So
miracles authenticated the messenger.
Yeah, miracles authenticated the messenger. So therefore, the messenger should authenticate the miracles. Is that
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
So that's what Brad was saying. So that's kind of what 2 Corinthians is about. Is that don't be a hypocrite either, and just like say, yeah, I'm a believer, I go to church on a Sunday or whatever, but actually live it out in your lives. Your life should be a reflection of what you believe. Just right. like in Acts, these miracles were a reflection of their faith in Christ and in God. These miracles wouldn't have happened if the gospel didn't transform them from the inside out. Yep. So it's good stuff. We are pushing through the generation series. We are getting close to the end.
Yeah, we
and we got some exciting new things coming in the future teaching at the Well. This next week, we're actually going to take a quick break on the generation series, and we're going to touch on, am I right about this?
I don't know.
I think I'm right about this. We're going to touch on some holiday stuff at the Well.
Oh, yes, you are right about that.
And then the following week, I believe we're going to have, I think Rick Taylor's coming up and teaching, or we'll figure it all out. But just going to talk a little bit about Romans, Roman influence, what's going on during the period of Romans. But this next week, we're going to touch on kind of just the Well's vision for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. We've got Halloween coming up, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and we've got Christmas coming up. If there are pumpkin spice lattes, it's the holidays, right?
Oof, I had one last night.
Quick disclaimer?
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice latte at Dutch Brothers, 10 times better than pumpkin spice
Serious?
Latte. It's not called the pumpkin spice latte. It's called like the pumpkin
pie
dolce or something like that.
Okay.
It's very good.
All right. I'll have to give it a try.
Just saying, you know, Dutch Brothers, I'm a big fan of.
I love Dutch Brothers.
Every time I drive up to Dutch Brothers, they are bumping the loudest electronic techno music. Uh-huh. And I just can't help but go.
I love it. One time, my first time going to Dutch Brothers, I drove around the building probably 2 times before I figured out which way to go into the drive-thru. Oh. They were like, you just doing some donuts out there?
The one on like Ashland and Willow or whatever?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. The one on Bullard and West, there's only one entrance.
Yeah.
But the line's always so long, so I just walk up and get the coffee.
Oh.
I'm too lazy to stay in my car.
Okay.
So yeah, next week we've got that message, so stay tuned for that. You're going to hear from your campus pastor, so Schultz will teach in the morning, Dave over at Southeast, Andrew over at Fig, Jared at Clovis, and then we'll have Shay at the PM.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. We'll discuss that, whichever one we heard, and we will be back in the Generation series the week following. So up next, we got our interview with Jared Rumley. Enjoy some more
Jimmy Needham.
Jimmy Needham.
Oh, come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Oh, teach me some melody sonnet, sung my flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of fiery demon love. Here we go.
All right, we are back and we are here with Jared Rumley.
What's up, spouters?
What's up?
What do you call the followers?
Spouters, I guess. I don't know. Spoutcast listeners.
Spout Nation. Spout Nation, yeah.
We are.
Hashtag Spout Nation.
What's the guy who was on American Idol? David Archuleta, his archangels, right? Did you guys never watch American Idol?
I did.
So you were like
Spoutins. They're like Spartans.
Oh, I like that one.
Spoutins.
We've just called them Spoutcast fans. I don't know. We haven't really thought much about it.
If you're a fan of the show.
If you were to get a tattoo of being a Spoutin, what would your tattoo be of?
Jane's face.
Be hardcore.
Hey, that would be a blessing for everyone.
Now, Jared, you've been on the show. I feel like, you know, this is honest, just being real here. I feel like first year and a half, 2 years, Spout, didn't really have you on much. In the last couple of months, we've had you on because you're a good guest.
Okay.
And I feel like we missed you on the early days. You know, that's why it was so tough to get listeners, because you weren't around.
Well, that is very encouraging. Hopefully you'll have more. So invite a friend, Spout Nation. Tell them to get the feed. RSS this sucker.
So we got a lot to catch up with Jared with.
Free promo.
Yeah, that's right. But maybe for starters, Jared went on a mission trip this past summer.
I did.
And we've kind of interviewed some people who come back from mission trips, but where did you guys go and kind of what was that experience like for you? You led the trip, correct?
Yes.
Right on.
Yes. Campus pastors, we try to at least every other year lead a trip to keep our passports hot, as we say behind the scenes. And I led a trip to Costa Rica. We have a couple extended family members down there, one Rose Torres and Mackenzie Butler, who are extended family for us. That means long-term missionary. That's our code language. So I took about 12 people down there to do some work with Students International. That's where Mackenzie and Rose serve, and that's what I was doing.
And I know that I ran into one of our high school students and her and her dad went with you. And they said,
Joe.
Yeah, Becca and Joe. And they just said it was awesome. It was a great trip. And he said what he felt like was it just really bonded some of the Clovis campus people together.
Yeah, Joe was my roommate for all 2 weeks or ish, 12 days. So we had a good time. It does. Anytime you go overseas and you don't know a language and you're forced to be in small quarters with people, you develop relationships whether you like it or not. So it was really good. We had a good time serving. We went to a place called Desamparados. My Spanish really picked
up. Man, you are. You're Jeremiah. You have a Spanish duel.
And it means the forgotten ones, which became indicative over time of the kind of poverty they experience around there. So we served with SI in different ministry sites and just got to experience the world of Costa Rica.
Right on, dude. I know our students in WSM have gone to Students International and gone to some of those same sites, so I imagine it was a great trip.
Good trip, and we're going back next year, so it'll be a place I think
will you run it next year, too?
I don't think so. I think another CP will step up, or we'll find an amazing lay leader / Spoutcast host to lead it.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
Sarah?
She's coming back.
Oh, she's not here.
Now, Jared, you celebrated a birthday.
I did.
But not a human birthday.
Nope. Well, and I'm about to celebrate it again.
Oh, you are?
10-10. It's almost there.
It's almost there.
Yeah. It's, the birthday's coming.
Whose birthday?
It is the Clovis campus birthday.
That's right.
Three years.
3 year old.
Officially a toddler.
Okay. That's the first time we had Jared on the show.
It was.
It was right after or before.
Right after we launched.
Right after the launch of Clovis.
And then maybe at a year, I think we did it again. I think my third trip here.
I think we did it after a year because I remember us talking about the photo booth.
Classic.
Yes.
Are you guys going to do the photo booth again?
Clovis staple.
Really?
Probably coming out the holiday season this year.
Oh. Not during birthday season.
We'll just keep pushing through generations at this point. But photo booth is always coming around for us.
I still see, it's mostly Santino and Melissa and TJ, but I still see photos pop up every once in a while.
Okay, Greg Cefalotto
That's an underground organic one that comes around to your phone ever so often. Greg Cefalotto has a picture with a snorkel that is priceless.
Yes. And like a mullet. a mullet wig
of sorts. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a light brown wig. And goggles
and a snorkel. Uh-huh. And he put it in his mouth. That's probably the most disturbing
thing. Yeah, that was
gross. Clovis has, if you have not been at the Clovis campus recently, it has changed a lot even since... one, since we bought it, and then two, since we've revamped it even. Like, I feel like it looks even different. Like, yeah. I just realized this week that the kids, some of the kids' classrooms are not, they're split now.
There's walls in between them.
There's walls. Yeah.
It's been an evolving process, but I think structurally we're set. I think we have a lot of good opportunity, and sanctuary is always buzzing too. It feels good in there.
Yeah. How are things on Sundays?
Good. We're having a really good time. I think we've went through a fall of adjusting to where are people going to land. After a couple of years, you know, there's people have migrated with Southeast opening. There's some families that live there and went, which we love. We just love people being plugged in. Good momentum in life groups. I think the next phase for us as a campus is seeing what's coming in the neighborhoods around us and in the pockets of the city where our people are. As we try to reach a city. Sam and I were talking about this, you know.
Sam Hart. Shart.
Worship guy. Of course. Of course you do. But we just had a good conversation about, you know, one of our purposes in launching the campus was to reach the city of Clovis. And so we have people deep east, right in the middle, Section 8 housing, up north, down south. So I think there's great opportunity ahead as we get people plugged in, kind of living out the mission of every neighborhood.
How has Southeast opening, has it been a good thing for you guys, just maybe relieving some space, or have people transitioned over to Southeast from Clovis?
Not a large percentage. There have been some families that have gone just because that's where they live and carried on. There's been some people that have stayed too because they're plugged in life groups and community. So it's really open-handed with us. I wouldn't say there's been drastic change either way, but having been able to teach at Southie a couple times, it's a lot of fun to see what's going on there. And in the same vibe that happens at all three of our campuses now happening again at Southeast, it's fun to watch.
So this, I totally don't know why I didn't tell you this, Jane, but do you guys still get people who come to Clovis and go, is this a celebration?
Still do. Three years later.
Like, how regularly would you say that happens?
I would say at least once every 3 months.
Really? Okay.
4 or 5 times a year, for sure.
So last night, at our high school group, we do a once a month high school group at the Verve. And so basically what happens is we'll open up the doors to the sanctuary at around like 7:15, kind of let the kids funnel in. And so I noticed this guy kind of like come through the doors, doesn't say hi, doesn't say anything. And I have two thoughts in my head. One, this is a new leader that Jeremiah met with, and I just
because he's not a high school student. He has a beard.
He definitely has a beard, and he's an adult, and he's not in his 40s, but he's not in his 20s either. He's kind of right in the middle. So I thought he could definitely be a leader. Like Jeremiah, he kind of does a lot of that leader process, and I usually meet them at their first event, but I hadn't met this guy yet. And so what happens is all these kids are funneling in, and he's kind of right in the middle of all the kids. So imagine like a big crowd of kids, and then this adult male who I've never seen before kind of right.
No red flags there.
Well, but there's other leaders, you know, coming in. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, he's either a new leader or that guy is lost.
Real possibility.
But I can't get to him before he gets into the building because there's this mob of kids coming in through one door. And so I am heading through the back door to try and get in. And somebody stops me and goes, hey, man, like, how are you? And I'm like, good. I got to go into this other door. I'm like, go in the other door. And this guy comes in, and we have what's called a beehive. And so it's this like light thing that's kind of shining lights all over the place as kids enter in. And he just looks lost.
Did you say, hey, man? Hey, buddy.
And as he comes up to me, I'm like, hey, man, like, what's going on? Like, I'm Christian. He's like, I think his name was Joe. And I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. Is it first time? Like, I'm just pretending.
First time caller, long time listener.
Yeah. First time. He's like, yeah, it was first time. He's like, this is crazy. Like, light show, huh?
And I'm church
like,
is young.
Yeah. And he's all, this seems like a lot of kids that go to this church. And I'm like, yeah, it's our high school group. And he's like, oh, this is in a Celebration Church.
Nope.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm like,
not
no.
since 2010.
Did he stick around?
No. I mean, he was like, oh, I think I'm in the wrong place. I'm like, dude, well, we have services here on Sunday, 9/11. But I was going to ask you if that's a regular thing, because it has regular. Happened, at least for me, 3 times at it the Verve. Yeah. That is so funny.
I know. Still there.
And what do you guys say? Just like, come and join us and...
Say, yeah, we're not Celebration. We have services here at 9/11.
Yeah.
So if you want to come hang with us, come on.
Dude, that is funny.
We leave it at that.
And just, hey, whatever you guys get out of this. So now Jared and I played golf the other day.
Very terribly, except Christian played good. He won't brag. He may brag on himself because he was bragging on himself that whole day.
Why am I not surprised?
We played terrible collectively for 18 holes. He played great for about 3. It was a good time. Supporting Hume Lake.
It was a great tournament. And while we were out there, Jared told me what kind of his family's doing for Halloween, not Thanksgiving.
Super excited.
And so, you know, just wanted to ask the question, Jared, what is your family doing for Halloween?
We're doing lots of things for Halloween. What aren't we doing is probably the better question. Not as cool as Shay's Halloweenies and Boogers.
Yes.
But
Boogers.
I know, Boogers. Boo, like a ghost. Let me hear your best ghost sound, Jane.
Ooh.
That's pretty good. The soundtrack. So we this is the first time that we can actually let all our boys choose their costume. We have 3 boys. Beckham, who's our youngest, is now a toddler, and he has opinions, hot sports opinions, instead of us just stick him in a cute little animal outfit. So we're a superhero squad for the first time.
Cooper
is not just Iron Man. He is the Iron Patriot.
Oh, wow. Do they make those costumes too?
The Iron Patriot, yes. So he is all kind of spirited American Iron Man. And Sawyer is going as his counterpart friend in crime as the real Iron Man.
Okay.
Wow.
Which is really good.
The tag team.
Yes. And Beckham is going
Pepper
old
Potts.
School. Pepper Potts. No. The Black Widow. Is that in the movie or is that Avengers? I'm not sure.
I don't know. So what about Jen?
Wait, is he really going as Black Widow?
No.
Oh, I thought Black Widow's a girl.
She is.
So wait, who's he going as?
Beckham?
Yeah.
He's going as Spider-Man.
Oh.
So we have all kinds of superheroes. We're jumping movies around. We're battling
cool.
comics, but that's what he wanted.
Hey,
the funny thing
is
it's poofy. So he has real poofy muscles.
Oh, that's awesome.
New Avengers, there's the original Avengers, and then there's a comic called The New Avengers.
Is Spider-Man in that?
Spider-Man and Iron Man are in part of the New Avengers.
Well, see, okay. We're ahead of the curve. Exactly what I meant
to
say.
So are you and Jen dressing up as superheroes?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I would think
you'd have
that
to wait
you
for Instagram
would be,
on that one.
I would think that you would be the guy with the black eye.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah, what's
you
his?
You mean the patch?
Yeah, not the black.
Black eye.
Is that racist?
A little bit.
Hey.
I knew what you were thinking, trying to filter.
You said black E-Y-E, not G-U-Y.
Nick Fury is who you're
Nick
talking
Fury.
About.
Are you going as Nick Fury?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
And maybe Jen's going as Black Widow?
You'll just have
okay,
to check out Instagram.
Okay, and here's the
other
thing.
Guru Nation on Instagram.
Here's the thing that it will also be going on. Maybe not on, wait, what day is Halloween? Thursday?
10/31 every year.
But what day of the week is that?
It's
Thursday.
On a Thursday.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're doing another serial killer party at the office, aren't we?
We should.
Why not? We always do.
We got to.
It's
and
the,
what?
Now
what
third
Halloween
annual,
movie are we
going
to watch?
I don't know. We'll have to let's figure that out at staff meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
You this is just unsolicited thoughts. If Jen already has her outfit, but if she is Black Widow, that's great. But I've been
Should
watching.
Should I give her a black eye? Would that be a good outfit for her to go in?
No, but I was thinking, I just have been watching this Avengers television show or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. And Nick Fury has like this assistant who's played by the girl from
So not only are you being racist, but now you're being sexist because it's an assistant, right?
Oh my gosh.
Can't win anything here, Christian.
I can't. I'm just
okay,
saying.
Okay, so there's an assistant.
Well, but she's in all the Avenger movies. She's okay. played by the girl that she's in How I Met Your Mother. I can't think of her name right now. But that would be like really true to the story.
Except for Spider-Man. But now he's in the future.
Well, yeah, but you know, Spider-Man.
We tried to get him Hulk. Hulk would have been awesome.
Spider-Man exists in the same universe that they all exist in. Mm-hmm. He just maybe have to have Sawyer. Is it Sawyer that's
Beckham's Spider-Man?
Beckham can just walk behind you guys a little bit. Like he's a different universe.
Or walk way out in front. Either way.
Now, Jane leads a group of life group girls from the Buchanan campus.
What?
And
Osos. Hashtag Osos.
There's some Osos. Serious love for Buchanan serious over love. In this corner yes. of the Spoutcast. Now you're going to be coaching soccer again at Buchanan?
Tryouts start Friday, 10:14.
Friday.
Starting early this year.
You trying out, Jane?
Yeah, well, number one cheerleader right here.
She's a super fan.
So
she's officially gone to more games than any other staff person has.
Uh-huh. Wow. So, Christina will be trying out. Well,
for sure.
Trying out varsity.
Yes.
She still has to finish tennis season.
She's got to make it. She may not be there because of fall sports.
Sure. Are you looking forward to this season of soccer or?
You know what? I really am. It's one of those things.
Remind people what happened last year.
State championship?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Valley championship. That's what they call it here.
Mm-hmm.
Epic game went into like quadruple overtimes and finally ended in penalty kicks.
Uh-huh.
For you soccer fans that uh-huh. are Spout Nationers, you know that is a terrible way to decide a game, but very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Free kicks 15 yards out.
It's a lot of stress on those girls.
So we went through about 8 shooters, and finally our keeper saved one to push us over mm-hmm. the top, and we became Valley champs.
Yep.
Which this leads into the future excitement for the season. Yeah. Played a team in the state semifinals down in the Southern Regionals that we lost to 1-0. A very good team, but they ended up finishing number one in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Not just California.
Wow.
Max Preps, number one team in the nation. And we played a very consistent and good game with them. So I think it raised the sights for our ladies and for the program. I mean, 8 out of the last 9 Valley Championships, you got a lot to build on. It's almost a dynasty. But we're super excited. We got, hopefully, we got 16 returning players coming back.
Wow.
8 starters if they make it. So that's a pretty good squad.
That's awesome.
Osos are going to be tearing it up.
Now, if you don't know who you know, Jared's background. Jared used to be a celebrity soccer player, an all-star soccer player.
An all-star soccer player?
I heard you were good.
I was okay.
You were okay.
Not near as good as Orlando, who our head coach is. He played in the MLS.
Ooh.
I would never dream of that. That's Major League Soccer for those of you.
I thought you had an injury that prevented you from doing MLS stuff.
No.
Or going past college. Right?
No.
Didn't you have an injury in college?
No, I was just not good enough, nor did I want to give a full-time career to soccer.
Into soccer. I heard you were good, man. And I still remember us kicking shots at
Chuck Chansey.
And me Baptism. And Scott Carolyn were talking to each other like, dude, Jerry can rip the ball, man.
You know who actually on staff can hit it harder than I can is Mike Slayton.
Mike Slayton, huh? Because he works those legs out.
He's an unbelievable
soccer
player.
And he shaves his legs.
Yeah. Aerodynamic. Maybe I should do that.
He gets less air.
Maybe that's why the girls' soccer team is so good. They all have shaven legs. So there you go.
Sounds like an excellent observation.
There you go.
Okay, well, good stuff, Jane.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll be out at some of those games. Jane will be out at some of those games rooting you guys on.
Okay, that game that you came to, what was that game where the girl hurt her knee?
Shireen.
Yeah,
that was the Southern Regional game.
Okay.
That was the game they lost.
1-0.
Yeah.
Southern Regional.
And they
semifinals.
Scored that goal in the last 7 minutes.
That game got heated.
Jane got heated.
Jane was fired up.
You know what I appreciate about you,
Jared? I almost got thrown out of that game.
I remember that.
Sad to say. It's one of my goals, because sanctification is a process, right?
No, totally.
I've even talked to the coach and said, hey, I understand who I am and what I have to do. I want you to know I'm going to work on keeping my mouth closed. I'm a passionate soccer coach. So this year, I'm going to be a passionate coach with his passing in his mouth. He's quiet.
Now, how do you coach your son's soccer?
Similar to how I coach the ladies, with less expectations, because they're under 8.
Okay, but he does have this app on his phone to keep track of their...
Soccer Dad? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It does lineups and stats. And
is your son's soccer at the point where the score doesn't matter?
Yes.
To Jared?
Okay.
No.
Yes. Technically, after the seeding period, you don't keep score anymore.
Okay, because when I was a kid, I think up until probably I was in first grade or second grade.
U10. Under 10 is when it matters.
Under 10. Okay, mm-hmm. But it matters to you.
Third grade.
Now, how many points did their son's soccer team score the other day?
I can neither confirm nor deny. We may have scored 14 goals last Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're like Bill Belichick, if you know that reference of the Patriots
without
coach.
Without the cruddy sweatshirt.
Yeah, the sweatshirt. The cut-off sweatshirt. But you're just running up that score, man. Keep it going.
Hey, it was seeding period. We needed to make a good statement for the,
right,
the board that was
going
to place us.
Well, Jared, we hope to have you back on the Spoutcast.
Anytime.
I appreciate you just coming on and chatting. I love hearing your ideas, especially Halloween. I'm looking forward to that photo.
Yeah.
Instagram, baby.
You need somebody to take, like a neighbor or something, to take the photo before
well,
you guys
will.
Go out.
We will.
All right.
We'll rock it. Thanks for having me. Spout Nation. Spout you soon.
All right, up next, we'll close out the show.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea.
Welcome back.
It's always a fight to get to the microphone that last segment.
I just watch you because you usually tilt your head back as you're taking your breath of air. And then as you come up to the microphone, you start.
Well, that's my thing.
Yeah, I know. That's how I know that you're about to say something.
I'm going to have to trick you then.
Oh, you can't trick me. Trick or treat.
That's right. Now, Jane, we don't have any necessarily announcements going on.
Not
right
today.
Now. But you know, something I've learned about Jane over the years is that Jane's a closet sports fan. And Jane is big number one football fan, I'd feel like. I feel like you like baseball a little bit.
I do like baseball.
Okay. This is a great season for me. And I'm a big baseball fan. And I know our listeners out there don't care, but I got third place in my fantasy baseball league.
That's
great.
It's
like, it's like nothing, really.
The Packers were the underdog yesterday, and they beat the Lions.
I did see that. So, Jane's a big
Packers
fan.
There were a lot of field goals.
There was a lot of field goals in that game, actually. But I'm a huge A's fan.
Uh-huh.
And this time next week, the A's will have either advanced to the next round or have not advanced. And if they don't advance for the first round of playoffs, I will no longer be the host of the Spoutcast. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But
I didn't like that.
I'm going to be very sad.
That's okay.
If that happens. So next week there's, you may get a grumpy Christian.
And there's always another year.
There's been 26 years of my life.
Okay.
So they won the World Series when I was 2 years old. My dad said I wasn't old enough to remember it. My dad's an A's fan, so he grew up loving the A's too.
Okay.
So it's kind of a family thing.
Man, so you and best friend Ben are on opposite sides of the bay.
For those of you guys who don't know who Ben Wolburn is, he's been on the show before, but everybody in the office thinks that we're best friends.
You are.
I like Ben a lot.
Christian, you love Ben.
I do love Ben. I'm glad we hired him at the Y.
I love watching you
interact
with Ben, because you will find Ben in a room and you'll go sit as close to him as you can.
I like Ben. He's
you
a good
like
guy.
You do like Ben. He is a good guy.
We'll have him on the show more.
We had him on just a few weeks ago, so we'll have to wait.
We'll have to wait a little bit. But
let's say this.
Ben, I don't think listens.
If the A's lose and you're grouchy Christian, Ben's going to be my co-host.
For that week?
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll try not to be grouchy. Well, hey, we'll have a good show for you guys next week. This is The Spout.
And we're out.
That sings my soul, my Savior God.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. No one greater in the universe, and all creation, I promise they can do a search, so they would never find another one of your kind, who holds it all together, who tells the sun to shine. I've been around the world, they say their love is blind, but I love you cause I've seen you 100 times. I'm so amazed this world that you made, it's amazing. Know the stars on a first name basis. You have tasted and seen cause your greatness. Graces, dude, I'm on my face cause you're gracious. How you create this world in a week, from the clouds and the sky to the pearls and the deep.